Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Rayner, back with you again with my good Grey Power mate, Matty Vimirinovich, and something of a chaotic scramble as I'm off to the United States in a couple of days. I'm going to spend 2 weeks with my son and his family in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the depths of the Northern Hemisphere winter. They, like us, are experiencing extreme weather events, except that instead of tropical cyclones and heavy downpours and flooding, they're facing blizzards with extreme cold and heaps of snow and ice. Footpaths, sidewalks buried in snow, like the roads, they're also covered with black ice. I usually go out for Christmas, but you may recall from our December program that I was detained by a family country wedding in the back blocks of Pye's Par Tower Honour on New Year's Eve. In spite of my dire trepidations, it turned out really well because of the aforementioned downpours held off for a couple of days. Fortunately, I'm a seasoned international traveller and preparing for a trip falls into a well-oiled pattern. 15 minutes to pack, passport, ticket, credit, a few American dollars and cash and off. The major issue being the selection and acquisition of suitable presents for my four American Kiwi grandchildren. This particular skill of rapid travel preparation is just as well as I'm also in the middle of renovating the bathroom. I read somewhere once that the stress of renovating a home is second only to the trauma of a divorce. One advantage, disadvantage of being an older Kiwi bloke is that our generation grew up with practical home handyman skills, starting off with the woodwork lessons we had in our intermediate school years and honed on our first home purchase. If this was a new home, it was invariably delivered on a bare section, usually clay in the New Auckland subdivisions, with no paths, drives, fences, clotheslines or letterboxes. If it was an old house at a price you could afford, major renovations and redecoration were inevitable, at a stage in life where ignorance is bliss. In both cases, do-it-yourself skills and hard graft were an essential need, not just a hobby option. My house is an old Devonport villa, usually affectionately referred to as a 110-year-old pile of borer food. I'll correct that, just referred to as a 110-year-old pile of borer food. Forget the affection. The bathroom is half an original room, 3 metres long, 2 metres wide, with a bath with a shower attachment over it with low-pressure hot water cylinder. This delivers a trickle of a shower on the good days. The greenies would be delighted with its water-saving capacity, but the time had come for an upgrade, removing the bath and installing a normal shower and getting on to mains pressure hot water. Having made this key decision, we set off to get quotes, the initial one being from an Auckland-wide company that advertised extensively at the home show and well-regarded, thinking would be in the $8,000 to $9,000 range. Needless to say, the quote of $24,500 for a full renovation left us somewhat speechless. And even pulling the poor old pensioner act, pointing out the price was a year and a half's income from the pension, didn't cut any ice. A second quote from a local North Shore company was a bit more realistic, but not much. So the disadvantage of being a good Kiwi bloke came into play. We'll do it ourselves, with a local plumber, an old work colleague, an experienced handyman mate, a new shower and toilet from Mitre 10. Nearly finished for about $8,000 we planned on. Not quite the Hollywood celebrity gloss, but good solid Kiwi serviceable. Stress level was high because my mate, who I worked with for 30 years, is of Chinese Samoan background, a salesman in his working life. Very voluble and lively, known affectionately as a chattering Chinaman to his friends and colleagues in the shipping industry, now half deaf. So am I. And with Dave's normal garrulous nature, his tendency to verbalise his thoughts and debate every nail hole, the construction site was something out of the end of Summer Wine TV programme at times. Indeed, all of the time. But we're getting there and our friendship is still intact. Nothing a few beers won't fix. Actually, elder abuse was on my mind when I got the $24,000 quote for the bathroom. I'm sure this is not the case, but many older people can be ripped off by shonky tradesmen and sales-focused firms. The paper this morning had a report on a crooked real estate agent who ripped off a couple in their 70s by undervaluing their property and buying it himself. He went on to resell it a few months later for $700,000 profit. A few months back, I referred a similar case to the Commerce Commission, the Office for Seniors, to see if there's a provision in the law for commercial elder abuse. Unfortunately, there isn't, but there's a strong case for having a better protection from the crooks in our society who prey on the senior community. Something to look to in the future. As I mentioned, it'll be a bit of ad-libbing from here on, with Buddy and I covering a mix of topics. Thinking of my chattering Chinaman mate, the well-known Simon and Garfunkel songs bring to mind. They'll now have their soothing version of The Sound of Silence before we get into the heavy stuff.
Hello darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light to split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one did. The sound of silence. Fools said I do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words the will of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered the sounds of silence.
Welcome back, Murray. Here we go again. We mentioned last time you had a bit of a run of funerals lately. I understand you've got another one coming up. Is there something in that Waitakere water, eh?
No, it's a fairly young guy of about 42 who suffered heart trouble most of his life since when he was born and leaves behind three children and the wife. So that's very sad. The others are older, so that's, you know, the Grim Reaper takes the old, but not so often the young. But may they all rest in peace.
Yeah, so probably there's a few things that come up on your local patch we were talking about before. What's the update on the Kauri dieback? I see the council's putting a much stronger ban now.
Well, yes, I see even the mayor had something to say, but then the press tried to contact him late yesterday and he wasn't available, but they've closed apparently off all the tracks up there. But they could have done that quite some time ago in the watershed area, because that's Centennial Memorial Park. And that's the area that, under Auckland Regional Council, it was much more, better managed and better administered. I know that from two rangers that I speak to occasionally. And it's going to be difficult to close it off, because a lot of properties border the tracks, private properties. But they have in law the ability to do it, but I think they're a bit frightened. I think it's probably something that the government should be pitching some money towards from the conservation department, because it's something that needs to be looked at. The more people that walk through those tracks, the more that Phytophthora is probably taken on their shoes.
Well, this is, I think, was the point we talked about before, where most of the damage is within 70 metres of the tracks.
That's right.
And I remember one of the issues I was involved with some time back when the Super Council first started was they were breaking down the regional parks network that the old regional council used to run.
Yes.
And that was run as an integrated linkage right
That's
across
right.
the whole of Auckland. And
yeah.
the Super Council wanted to change them into local individual parks.
Yes.
They lost a lot of the contact and continuity. So, oh, well, I mean, at least they've done it.
Gone are the days of the late Bill Beveridge, who was a very well-known ranger up there who... Mm. Who would have sorted this problem out with the rangers in no time at all without council meddling?
Yeah.
Meddling, and they're fiddling while Rome is burning.
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems you have across the whole city.
I know. But
the other thing you mentioned, that you'd been along the local board, and Acid Corbin's Wine Museum had got a good hearing.
Yes, Acid. Yeah, last evening, Steve... McDonald, our vice president of Waitakere Grey Power, went along. He goes to the local board meetings. And he went to the Henderson Massey local board, and Acid Corbin was there giving a presentation, a whole lot of papers and all of the stuff to the board members. And he had along with him John Newick, who was previously chairman of the Henderson Businessmen's Association, to give help with the pitch. But in the crowd there was the likes of Brian Corbin and the guy Sutcliffe from the Corbin Arts the house down there, the Corbin Arts Centre. But they're not so favourable towards it. But I think I spoke to Acid briefly last night on the phone, and he said that Brian and Mr. Sutcliffe, when he gave his presentation, halfway through they walked off like a couple of sulking kids.
Oh, it's curious, because I think for people who are not aware of the situation, the Corbin Estate was where the old Corbin Winery used to be, and Waitakere City established a Corbin Art Centre there, which of course Brian is the chairman of, very defensive of their patch, and for the life of me I can't see why you can't have both. But
I can't,
anyway.
I can't either. I mean, there's facilities there that could quite, they say they have 84,000 people come through the art centre, but then they're taking into account the children's holidays programs.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And I think I actually went through there with Judy Lawley when she was on the council out there, and there's a huge amount of space. And I think one of the problems we do have in our current Auckland super city scene is the heritage aspect is being completely diminished. The council only has $84,000 a year for all the built heritage across the whole area.
That's right.
And this is a less than the one of our my colleagues on the Heritage Advisor will comment in the Waipa Regional Council, which is a rural area, and they've got more. So it's one of those issues I think we'll be putting very much in the 10-year plan.
Well, Acid said to me last night, he said, well, the money, he can't see it falling from the sky from the council, because he said, Matty, plainly and clearly, the Auckland Art Gallery is short of money in there, and they're looking for money for there. But he said if they didn't do up the Loptal House and this White Wooderaft, then they would have the money.
Yeah, well, that's history.
Yeah, but that's gone and underwater under the bridge, I said to him.
And I think it's quite important that the community groups do sort of link together and supporting these sort of heritage activities.
But, I mean, Acid's got in his father's house up there on Sturgis Road, he's got like a cornucopia of
wine-making
stuff.
And, of course, the wine industry, I think, that's what Acid was sort of talking about, get behind it. So it would work, and it should.
It should.
Okay, the other sort of thing I just got down here is that you were talking about the need to develop our membership base, and what I'm looking at is the broader community role of Grey Power. We've just gone through several situations on the shore where we've stepped outside the pure role of advocating for senior issues singly and gone into the broader aspect of community things that impact on seniors. The big one a year or two back was the Takapuna Camping Ground one which wanted to be taken over by New Zealand Yachting as their international centre. We're involved in that because so many seniors have camper vans. The other one we just got involved with is the Takapuna car park, which Panuku, the council, want to sell off for development. And, of course, it's the major open space in the centre of Takapuna, and it's had a market there for many, many years. So we're involved in that. So I think it's probably what we're touching on here, the need to develop. You mentioned the need to develop our membership base.
Well, yes, and in regard to Panuku, we just had them, by being at the local board meeting, Panuku, and came to speak to us about the Wiltshire Village. Right. So we're getting a broader base in the community. We're now known in the community.
Developing a presence.
Which is handy, which we weren't before, and we'll even help younger groups, like when it came to that children's art festival in the town hall. Well, you so ably got behind that. And that's another one of our roles. We're there to help and support.
Yes, I think what's sort of coming out of that is I was quite intrigued, because what we're sort of looking at doing on the North Shore, and it'll spread similarly to what you're doing in Waitangi, is developing linkage with the community groups, and probably became more of a sort of, what you might say, community database, in the sense. I was quite intrigued just this morning in the Herald, they had the results of the by-elections that came up for the council when two of the councillors went off to Parliament. Yeah. And I was quite surprised in the Wangakeke Tamaki ward, a Labour lady won, Josephine Bartley, and she got 7,000 votes, 7,200 out of, and that was a 24.8% turnout. The Manurewa local board had a fellow, David Pacini from Manurewa Action, he got 5,000 votes, and it's only 19%. And the Waitapata local board, which you'd think would be pretty strongly contested, Denise Roche, who I think was a Green MP, wasn't she? Anyway, she was standing for Sir Division. So. She got 2,990 votes, and that's only 18% turnout. So the thing is, and this is what we're pressing in our North Shore situation, if you can win a by-election on 3,000 votes, we've got to sort of gear up with our own sort of plans to get our submissions and into the system so that we get recognised, because the councils work on numbers. And basically, I'll just talk about it quickly, what we're doing here with one of the groups that we're working with that many older people know, the senior citizens groups. I was quite surprised. There's actually about 30 across the Auckland region, and we got about 8 on the North Shore. They started in the 60s and 70s and were dynamic community groups. Now a lot of them are just sort of subsided into groups that hire out their halls. Most of them own a property. Yeah. And in Devonport, we had our one got down to 18 active members, so we still got involved in that, and we're pumping it up. And the whole idea we put to our council, our local board, is that they retain these groups, make sure that they're supported, and they'll become the centre in the future development for a senior citizen hub. Because you'll be well aware from the various reports coming out, loneliness and detachment from the community is a major problem. And as the city develops and gets bigger and more people, more diverse communities, it's going to be worse. So that's what we're doing. So what we're actually doing is putting out our feelers, because the last annual plan the council had for the North Shore for the Devonport Takapuna ward, they only had 623 submissions altogether for the annual plan for their local board activity and the 60,000 residents.
Yeah, we're
trying to get to the point where we at least get 600, because that'll make sure we're taken notice of.
Yeah, well, we in Waitakere are covered by three boards, Henderson, Massey, Waitakere Rangers and Fowl. So it's quite, we're quite a disparate region. We're quite big, really, but probably socioeconomically we're not as well off as the North Shore in terms of socioeconomic stuff. We're slowly getting people. I mean, it's important that we let people know that March is membership month for Grey Power, and that's important. If people in our own association, we're going to. I've taken the initiative to put. If anyone brings in a new member, they'll go into a draw for some vouchers. So that was just some willy thinking one on Sunday night. Now anything that can draw one in, or if we're helping other groups in the community, if we're conduits for them. They realise that we have the skills for advocacy. They're aware of that, but them being disparate, they don't.
Well, I think that's the whole point. It's getting that awareness among the community groups.
Very important.
And so that we work with them and we can provide support for their projects as Grey Power. And, of course, Grey Power can turn up on the North Shore. We've got about 3,000 members. Mm. And they even, just you know, passive support make sure that their issue is taken relatively seriously by the council. So that's happening. Probably the other thing, I just got a little note on my piece of paper here, is just on the census coming up. Mm. The interesting development there, because we just got through our Grey Power network a note from the Census Department saying Census Day is Tuesday the 6th of March. And they're basically trying to get most of the information online. I'm not sure quite how it'll work, because the old system was somebody used to come round your door, knock on it, ask how many people were there, and you said five. They gave you five forms. And then they came back 2 or 3 weeks later to pick them all up. And this time they sort of send them out by mail, and they've got a code on them. And the idea is that you can then go online with your particular identifier code and fill in your form. We made the point in earlier discussions with them for senior people. A lot of people haven't got access to computers. So what they've done, it seems quite clever, but I think like everything else, it's probably come a bit late. They've sent out done an arrangement with SeniorNet, which is the organisation that's basically geared to teaching older people how to use computers and things. And it says between Wednesday the 28th of February and Friday the 9th of March, they'll provide guidance and free computer use for people over 50 to fill in their census forms at their various offices around the country. Now, this is a wonderful initiative, but what's today?
It's 21st of February.
Yeah, we're actually recording a bit earlier, in Auckland we've got Kumeu, Glenfield, Bayswater, West Auckland, Eden Roskill, Remuera, Eastern Bays, Onehunga, Otahu, Pakaranga, Papatoa and Papakura. That's 12. So it's an ideal opportunity for seniors to get help filling in their census form, and of course provides a good promotional opportunity for SeniorNet. So there's actually, I think they'll be advertising. There was an ad in the Herald this morning in a similar vein. So I'd encourage all the our senior people who are having difficulty, give SeniorNet a ring. I'm going to say probably find the telephone book. Even telephone books have disappeared these days, haven't they? So anyway, that's just a point and quite what happens. And they will send you a paper copy. It did say in the paper that you'll get a paper copy. So that's basically the issue on the census.
Well, something interesting out our way, talking about the treatment of seniors, is an older man of 94 had a bank account. His wife died, so the money was left to him. So he wanted to put it into a separate account, so he went to the ANZ in Henderson. He didn't have a passport, he didn't have a driver's license, he didn't drive anymore, so you get the problem. Can you identify yourself? He says, well, I am who I am, I served in the Second World War. And then in the finish, it was left up to the bank internally, it took about half an hour, and then they said, oh yeah, you can finally set up an account. But it just shows that, is the council, when it does its submissions shortly, is it user-friendly to the elderly, for people who 80% of us who are not online? Is the census user-friendly? So the whole of the government departments are working, all of them, towards online. Council, online.
Yeah, no, it's a real issue. In fact, I was intrigued with that thing with the banks, the ASB bank. In fact, it was even, I think, a bit worse than you said. Yeah. He actually had a passport in New Zealand, but it expired.
That's right, that's the one.
And they wouldn't even accept the fact that he had a New Zealand passport, even if it was expired.
So
it was weird. I had a similar situation with our little Devonport Senior Citizens Club. Helping them out. I go down and bank their money once a month. And they used to get the little plastic bags from the ASB bank for the quick deposit thing. You'd fill them in, put your money in, and say what it was. And a wonderful system. You'd get, because they used to do all their little trading table yoga and things one by one. So you do the accounting, you pop them in, end of story.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly said, no, we're not doing that anymore for cash. We only do it for checks. And I said, well, what does that mean with cash? He said, you've got to come to the counter. And I said, well, hang on. I went there and I had $45 from the trading table. And I had to prove ID, and I've been banging there for 30 years. It was weird. And they said, well, and then they sort of said, well, you know, you have to show your driver's license. I said, it's $45 cash. Yes. And they said, oh, we've got these money laundering regulations.
It certainly brings up the fact that generally it's assumed that 80% of people over 65 are not computer savvy, unless one of their children might have one or they have one themselves. So it's very difficult. If all the government organisations, and I think it's something we've got to work on ourselves and grape out to tell the ministers, the council, like, this is not acceptable to the elderly.
Well, we've done that, and I think the difficulty is, I mean, it's one of those generational things, because young people can't quite understand that you don't do it. Because, I mean, even the banks, they're having real problems because they're actually closing down. Our bank, we've got five banks in Devonport, they're only open from 10 till 2 o'clock. They've only got about three staff. And there's talk now of possibly the ATM sort of disappearing, as cash is just about to disappear. So it's a real, real issue. But, okay, I think what else? We've got just a little bit of time to go. But I think that's probably about...
Well, I'll quickly encourage people that are not members of Grey Power, who we have six or seven associations in Auckland. If you get in touch with your local association during March, we will gladly take you in and sign you up to become a member, and then you can then enjoy some of the advocacy that we do, and you can even jump on board the committees when we get a bit older and ready for the fossil department.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Yeah. And I think keep in mind that Grey Power's not just for seniors. It's basically working with the community to support community activities in the broader sense. And as I say, we've got about 10,000 members in Auckland, about 4,000 in the whole of the country. So when it comes to advocacy, we've got a pretty strong voice.
I think you've overlooked here that the grandfathering
we're running out of time. We did touch on that a little bit last time.
We did.
The key thing we're putting to council is some assistance on the rates for seniors, but I think we're... That's about it for today. I think of me living like an Eskimo in the frozen waste of North America. At least I won't be eating whale blubber, I hope. My daughter-in-law's not the world's best cook, but I don't think she's gone that far yet. So there's lots on. We'll keep you posted. And we'll wind up with Simon and Garfunkel again, A Hazy Shade of Winter. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Yeah.
Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.